This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, I'm Sammy P and I'm 18 years old.
Salam, I'm Malaki T and I'm 16 years old.
Hi, I'm Grace and I'm 17 years old.
Mabuhay, I'm Betty B and I'm 17 years old.
Kia ora, I'm Shiva and I'm 15 years old.
Welcome to our podcast, The Screen From Our Side.
We're a group of Oti Poti Rangatahi who NetSafe brought together to talk about our experiences online.
Welcome to Saying It Out Loud. In this episode of The Screens From Our Side, we talk about the benefits, harms, what uplifts us, what depletes us, and how we can combat online harm. We also talk about online versus reality, especially experiencing different cultures, and what we think is helpful supporting our well-being by ourselves and adults. Firstly, we're going to start off talking about, you know, trust, safety and support and well-being online. So my first question is, online life can be obviously both uplifting and depleting. What does this look like and how do you manage it?
I think online life can be so uplifting in so many ways. Like it provides, I think we've discussed this previously, but it provides the opportunity to connect with people. It provides an outlet to express yourself. But it's also very depleting because often we feel the need to be constantly available for people to connect with us.
Yeah.
And that can take a toll on you as a person because you just get drained emotionally because you're constantly having to check your Snapchat or check Instagram because someone may have responded to a story or something like that. And if you don't, then it's almost taken personally by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of sad because, honestly, if I'm not responding to you, it's probably because I'm taking a shower or something like that. Like, I'm not, yeah. I don't hate you guys because I haven't responded to you for 15 minutes.
So true.
Yeah, but I do feel like there's a real pressure to respond to people.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I think online life is actually quite depleting because, especially nowadays, we've got TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, like every social media app has short form content and you just get stuck scrolling and scrolling and before you know it, you've spent 4 hours and you could have spent that time doing other things like doing your schoolwork or going outside, yeah, hanging out with your family. So it does become quite draining to your like personal and social life.
How would you guys sort of work through managing that sort of emotion and how depleting and uplifting it can be at the same time?
I'm quite the opposite of you, Sammy P, because I am the friend that everybody comes to for advice.
So true.
So I get a lot of people messaging me talking about, oh, something happened to my day today and I didn't really like it. Or like, hey, Betty, how can you help me do this and that and that? And while I am happy to help everyone as much as I can, it is quite difficult at times, especially when I myself am in a bad mental space and need time for myself to take care of myself so I can take care of other people.
So true.
So I guess the way I manage it is just being quite, I wouldn't say like roughly upfront with them, but I would say, hey, can you give me like 5 minutes? I just need a breather. I'll come back to you in this time and we'll talk about whatever you need to talk about, something like that. So I guess just making sure that you make yourself a priority when it comes to online life is really important, just so that you don't lose yourself in the process of whether it's taking care of a friend or doom scrolling for 4 hours on TikTok.
100%. And it's like you can't give any energy when you don't have any energy yourself, and you need to make sure that you yourself are, you know, not that drained or tired before you go and try and like help someone else and their mental well-being as well. On that point though, how do you guys know when social media is helping you or if it's hurting you? Do you have any certain like ways that you decipher that?
It comes out in everyday life for me. I find myself, I guess, being like more short-tempered and I don't like have a longer sort of, I react a lot quicker than I normally would. And to be honest, that's probably a combination of being on social media too much, and probably with that comes with little sleep. But I think I find myself just acting differently around friends and my family, and I can recognise the fact when I've spent too much time online, because I actually get sore eyes. So I think there's definitely telltale signs in like how you interact with people throughout the day. And for me, that's sort of, if I find myself acting out of the normal, for me that means that I have been spending too much time online and I need to take a break and go on a walk with my dog. Yeah.
No, same as Sammy P. When my eyes start hurting, I'm like, I need to take my phone away.
Yeah.
I either go to sleep or I go and do anything else and just be on my phone, because you can really tell.
I guess for me personally, I would know when social media is helping me in terms of content, like when I see a video that inspires me to do something or go research about something. Mm. And I would know if it's hurting me if I personally get triggered by what is being talked about on screen by the person.
Yeah, and this is more of a long-term thing, but I've noticed that social media and like reels and stuff, it's like tanks my attention span quite a bit. And I would say that I'm, you know, on the better end of things, because I don't have as much screen time and I try and get my schoolwork done and stuff like that. But even when I can't really watch a YouTube video anymore because it's 20 minutes long and I don't have the attention span for that, and I just want to scroll and scroll.
Back to what Betty was saying about online harm and, like, you know, how you know if it's harming yourself, like when you're specifically talking about it, what other specific, like, harms or risks online do you guys kind of notice? Like, you know, when people are saying, you know, online has so many risks and harms, what do you guys define that as?
I think a lot of people are a lot more confident online than they ever would be in person. So you end up in situations where it's so easy to spew hate, or like even with people you know, if you're texting them, you'll make comments that you would never say to their face.
Mm.
So especially with teenagers, everyone in schools on Snapchat, you've got public stories. People are always talking about you or somebody else in ways that they never would in person. And that's quite harmful, especially as teenagers and we're growing up in this like digital world.
100%. And it's like so risky to send like texts sometimes, because they're like, what if they take it in the wrong way, or what if they're gonna go and tell someone and then it's gonna make me look bad and I didn't mean it like that, and then it goes into that whole spiral of he said, she said, they said this, that. And it's so just like, it makes you feel so just sad and down. And like, if social media, if these types of like, if this just doesn't exist, then there'll be less of that, I guess, clickiness or drama, in my opinion.
I think a lot of young adults are very vulnerable when it comes to social media, and like any online space in general, just because with the amount of information that is out there on us, based on like our families posting our baby pictures on Facebook, or just like minuscule things that we'll share online based on our likes or reposts, and we don't realize that that's actually kind of a personal thing that maybe some people shouldn't know, because then they would use that kind of information against you. Or like, there have been times where a lot of young adults who are active, like content creators, they would often get threats because they would accidentally, they would accidentally show like the logo of their school, and then like some random viewer is like, I'm gonna tell your school that you did this and that if you don't do this and that, which is pretty harmful, I would say. So yeah, I guess that young adults are just really vulnerable because we are, I would say, more open to sharing, and I guess that we're a little too open sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think one thing that my mom would tell me when I was like a little, when I was younger back in my day, it was, I think I was around maybe 10, 11. I got like my first like phone, because I had a tablet beforehand, but I got like a phone and like Snapchat, whatever. the point is, my mom would tell me never to post myself because people can do, like, you know, deep fakes or, like, make fun of your face, screenshot it and whatever. So I think from ever since I was that young, I was always so conscious about, you know, the risk of posting myself or posting a photo that might obviously easily be screenshotted if it's on, like, Instagram or whatever. It was Snapchat back then, so I could actually tell, but still, it was still quite risky. And I think that's always stuck with me. Now I'm a bit less pedantic about that, though. Like, yeah. I do post to myself or whatever. But honestly, it just comes with, like, growing up. And people don't actually care that much, but it's still so hard when it's, like, a public account, because I know a lot of us have public accounts, and there's so much of a, like, you're actually risking it so much, like, with all the people online that can go to your account, find it somehow, and then, like, do whatever they want. It's very hard.
Yeah, I think we talk about, like, risks, like, online harm and risks, and we've talked about, like, sort of the risks of, I guess, the actual content that we're consuming and the chats that we send and things like that. But I guess the harm that comes with it is very, like, I guess it goes a lot deeper. And I think that comes from consuming content that makes life look so perfect, I guess. Yeah. When I compare myself to other people, it makes me feel like my life isn't as good.
So true.
And I have a more negative outlook on my achievements or who I am as a person because I've seen what is so perfect and so pure and so right.
What seems so perfect and pure and right.
That's so true. It seems. It's a snapshot. Of the perfect reality. Yeah, and I think that comes back to me because I know that I'm not the only one that has been negatively affected when it comes to mental health and online, but I don't know if anyone else has had experiences or if any friends have had personal experiences with the struggles that come with mental health and online.
I totally agree with you, Sammy P. Like, just being online and having access to seeing, you know, all these influencers and also all your friends and everyone just either doing really cool things or posting really pretty photos, it can really affect you. Like, and you're like, why is my life not that good? Why am I not, like, going out and leaving my shell and doing all that? And we all individually have our own, like, privileges and disadvantages in life. And I think for me personally, I'm quite a privileged person. But seeing it online, I'm like, why am I not like that? Why am I not better? Why is my life not like this? But then, so I was overseas back my motherland the other day, and I took a break off of my phone, and I would see how my family lives, and I would be like, that was a moment where I felt my privilege living here and being so much online here. It made me forget that privilege and seeing people just better, 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 and make myself want to feel better, be better. But then over there, when I just took my phone away, I was like, damn, I'm so lucky to be who I am without comparing myself to anyone. So I think it's such a comparison thing with social media. Like, it's so just, you can forget who you are sometimes.
You're so true, Malaki T. Like, I think I haven't seen that on the same scale, but I think often it's like, what if I had this? I would be happy when I did this. I would be happy if I traveled here, if I did that, or if I achieved that. And I think it's really hard, and it takes a lot of time, maturity, and aging, I guess, to be able to take a step back and see the reality of, like, where we live and how privileged we are to live here and how much we have going for us. Like,
so true.
Often we do, I guess, have a bit more of a negative outlook on sort of not just life, but also our circumstances. And I'm not saying New Zealand's perfect, that's for sure. We've got our fair share of problems. But
and everyone's so different living here as well.
But we do have so much to be grateful for. And I think social media has made me want more and not appreciate what I have.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But I don't know, what do you guys think? Shiva, Betty, Grace, anything to add?
Yeah, actually, I had the same experience as Malak recently because I went back to India after like 8 years, and there I saw the richest people and the poorest people that you just don't see as openly in New Zealand or like Dunedin. So it just makes you really understand that what you're seeing on social media, it's very much one area, one section, one end of the spectrum, like from the richest people and then us who either aren't so well off or are, you know, that we're just in the mindset of that we always want more, that we see this and we're like, it becomes an expectation in our mind that, oh yeah, okay, so this guy started a clothing business on TikTok and he's become a millionaire. So
why can't I do that?
Yeah, why can't I? And sometimes we just go a bit too far and we have to realize that we're here and we have to live in the moment, and it's not about always online, online, online. It's what can we do to help others, like in person, because it's not just about getting yourself out or helping yourself. It's about helping other people. And I think being online so much, it's like having your own profile, curating your own Instagram, making sure everything's aesthetic. It subliminally makes you less sociable in person. And that is like a real harm that has affected me and people around me in person from social media.
Just a bit of a switch up now on topics. Who do you think has the biggest responsibility for keeping you safe online?
To start, like, it has to be your parents, because there's two sides to it. It's you and your parents or your caregiver or whoever is taking care of you at home. So, you know, growing up, my internet access was quite, like, readily available. So I've experienced it firsthand where you see things you shouldn't. And so as a parent or someone who's taking care of someone who's young and vulnerable, you do have quite a big responsibility to keep your child or your whoever you're taking care of safe online.
So true.
100%. And I couldn't agree more. But I also think that that media shouldn't be getting to you in the first place.
Exactly.
Mm. And I think tech giants and media companies need to take responsibility for the fact that they need to be giving positive and uplifting messages to our youth, and they shouldn't be exposed to harmful media at this young age. And I think they have the biggest responsibility to make sure the media that our youth are consuming is right and isn't harmful.
So true.
I think we also get to an interesting point there, because these media giants are actually profiting off this, like, harmful content and controversial content, because this kind of content, it makes you angry. If you don't agree with it, you're going to want to comment or share it and say, this is so stupid. So it's actually benefiting them to push this kind of content. And, like, I've seen it on Facebook. It's kind of wild just how everything, apart from, like, your family's posts, it's just such hateful content. And then you see all the people commenting, like, this is so wrong or this is so right. And then people are having arguments with each other in the comments. And in the end, it's helping these companies and helping the people who are actually posting this controversial things and stuff that's actually just quite hateful and things that we should try and remove from the internet.
100%.
Because of how flawed the algorithm is, you are incentivized to rage bait. You are incentivized to troll and have hooks in the beginning of your videos that will sound controversial. And I guess that what I'm saying is content creators should have, like, some part in it as well.
And also on top of that, like, we talked about content creators taking responsibility, but also, Shiva, you kind of mentioned this as well. As a consumer, you have a responsibility to, I guess, be only engaging with content that you believe is right. And as Malarkey T has touched on in previous episodes and many others, that by liking, by commenting, and by engaging with those posts, the algorithm, as Betty has just mentioned, pushes it further and those posts gain more traction. And until as consumers we recognize that actually engaging with that content is pushing it and making it more harmful, until we recognize that and stop engaging with harmful content, then the pattern won't ever stop. So we as consumers have a responsibility as well to not condone that sort of stuff, but also not even engage.
as I've said before, use the block button, use your mute buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you guys think helps when something goes wrong online? Like, what do you think can help make stuff less bad? What's the word for that? Like, what do you guys think helps when something goes wrong online, and what do you think doesn't?
I think recognizing what's happened and seeking help. Like, we're all learning in this digital age and this social media age as well, and it's okay to ask for help. It's something we've pushed with when it comes to mental health for a long time as well. It's okay to say that something is bothering you, and it's okay to reach out and seek help on something. And I think we need to understand that as well.
But what would you like think? What do you think would make it easier for someone to ask for help if something happened, though? Because it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it comes down to families.
Exactly.
It comes down to building good relationships with your parents, and even with siblings. I think. Well, even if you don't have closest relationship with family and stuff like that, even building close friendships, building a support network that you can feel like you can be honest with and open with. I think it would make it easier if you had someone in your life that you could talk honestly with and feel like you weren't judged for what you're asking them, because judgment is why so many youth no longer go to their parents with questions and will go to Google instead.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's important to have someone that you can talk to. That would make it easier.
I do have an experience that I want to share, because when I was younger, I had a Facebook account. And I would admittedly post pictures of myself that were cringe, also known as jejemon in Filipino and Tagalog. So one time I posted a story of myself. It was just like a random selfie. And at that time, I had like a few people who were bullying me. And somebody from that was in their inner circle managed to get a hold of what, not their group chat, but like some certain like personal conversations that they were having with each other. And apparently they screenshotted my story and they were talking smack about it.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, dang. And I want to, like, how old was I? I think I was 11.
So clearly not allowed to have a Facebook account.
Not allowed to have a Facebook account, guys. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people do fake their age to make
I did too. Trust accounts. Me. I was not born in 1996.
Yeah.
I was not born in 1999 or whatever year I put in there. So yeah, when that happened, I definitely felt shocked, because like that was my first time ever experiencing something like that online. And in the later years, I would come to experience more. But I definitely, that first time was like kind of shocking to me. And I didn't have like the courage to go up to my my parents, my whānau, because I was kind of scared of what they would end up doing. Because like, maybe they would like call up that girl's parents, or like they'd probably tell me like, oh my God, just stop posting. Or like, I don't know what they would like. I had like the fear that they would take away my phone, or they would take away my devices. And I guess just like that person who actually came up to me and told me about it, I couldn't tell if they were on my side or not. They were just saying, because they were the type of person to like stir the pot.
Yeah.
But I did ended up reaching out to my friends, and I definitely had like, took me like a month of full on ranting just to get over it. But I would definitely say that I was lucky to have like a good support system behind me during that time. So yeah, I would say that when something like that goes wrong on social media, I definitely try to find people that you can come to and connect to and talk about those kinds of problems. And if you really need more help that is like outside of their domain, then always reach out to a professional, reach out to your local guidance counselor, something like that.
On it safe. Sorry, do you guys have anything else to add? on that point? Because my question, just jumping off of Sammy P's point about, you know, parents and caregivers that can help you, how can parents and caregivers create, like, spaces where you actually feel safe telling the truth to them?
I think it's kind of a difficult question because I remind myself of the fact that, like, when we're looking at these comment sections on Facebook, it is parents that are also fueling this sort of, like, stuff. And I hate to say it, but a lot of the people that are also fueling this toxic environment online are indeed our own parents. Mm. I don't think – my dad's not even on Facebook, so he's free from that.
Your mum is enough for both of them.
No, mum doesn't comment. I tell her not to. but, no, I think we do recognise that the fact that parents and caregivers have a responsibility to, I guess, treat the internet and treat social media the same way they would expect their children to treat it. And I think – we just want our parents to be understanding and open and honest with us. If they expect us to be open and honest with them, then we want open and honesty from them as well.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add on that, Grace?
I feel like trust plays a big part in, like, with parents being understanding and, like, children with, like, their phones and everything. But I feel like setting boundaries would be helpful with some things, because that way children get an understanding of where their parents are coming from, and then parents get their children's perspective on things. So I just feel like trust is a lot. Yeah.
To wrap us all up, what is one message that you would give to the people who build apps, platforms, and algorithms?
Stop pushing harmful content towards our youth and build positive spaces online that aren't just about views and clicks.
I'd say keep the youth safe and work with the youth to come up with solutions and other features for your platforms and your algorithms to make sure that not only are we having a good time on the platform, but other people can as well.
100%. I'd say co-design by young people for young people, and also just make sure to take all measures possible to prevent harmful content, and make sure that the report button is not something that people are stigmatized and scared to use. Thank you so much, guys.
Ka kite. Woo!
Kia ora. I'm Bree, a 22-year-old youth and community worker in Dunedin.
Kia ora, I'm Sahara, I'm 28, and I'm an arts practitioner in Utiputi, Dunedin, working with Dunedin Fringe and emerging artists / rangatahi.
And we're co-facilitators for the Screen From Our Side podcast, working with these rangatahi to share their perspectives and experiences in their digital world.
This podcast was produced by NatSafe in collaboration with Otago Access Radio. If you'd like information, support, or advice about your life online, or would like to report online harm, contact NatSafe.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.